Uploading. Toonami Black Hole Megamix 2K3, now.
The fate of the whole world is in my hands.
You foolish man, I am Ajito Ryu, master. Allow me to reunite you with your ancestors.
And welcome to an Absolution Network special. Hey, first, as I am proud to bring to you the first Absolution Network special, which is very kind of redundant because I just said that. But moving on. But welcome one and all my Toonami generation. Of course, I am your Primetime host, Thomas Primetime Mattis. And, you know, I'm sorry for not having podcasts out the past couple weeks. You know, I actually had a lot planned for this month because, you know, it was my birthday and everything. But you know, work, the high holy days, and family staying over and taking complete control of the house kind of messed things up. You know how it is. But anyways, on to this special. You know, I've been wanting to do a special like this for the longest time. You know, as I know, I talk about how we are the Toonami generation, or, you know, to sort of lovingly parody Fox Sports, we are the Toonami generation. But moving on. You know, I love to talk about, you know, our generation, which again, I call Toonami generation, but it's also known as, you know, the Attitude Generation, in regards to, you know, because of the subject we're actually going to be talking about in a second, also maybe the Underground Generation dealing with the music that we listen to. But overall, we are this unique generation from about 94 to 2005 of, you know, young people who enter the ages of 10 to 20 between this time frame, and or mostly people like me who were mostly spent those 10 years of our life during that time period. You know, again, influenced by Toonami, the subject we're going to be talking tonight, music, and tons of stuff like that. So as such, I love to talk about generation because really, I just think it's fun, and I also think it provides a great service for us to sort of learn about ourselves in talking about our past, talking about what influenced us. It helps us understand exactly what we like. With that being the case, one subject that I've been wanting to talk about for a long time is wrestling. Now, we've all grown up with wrestling. Really, we are the first generation where wrestling is such an influential part of our culture, you know. And for the moment, let's just forget about the Toonami generation, you know, 94 to 2005, you know, as kids, most of us grew up during the time WWE really came on the scene, you know, with Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Ultimate Warrior, and the Iron Sheik, Nikolai Volkov, the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, just to name a few, you know, Andre the Giant, all these great, you know, wrestlers of the early WWE, or essentially WWF at the time. And of course, in the 90s, you had the Monday Night Wars between the WWE and WCW, you know, Monday Nitro and Raw's War, and wrestlers like Stone Cold, Shawn Michaels, Rock, Triple H, The Undertaker, Mankind, and, Hulk Hogan, or Hollywood Hulk Hogan, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, Goldberg, Bret Hart, you know, all of these are names that are our staples, you know, Rey Mysterio, they're staples as part of our culture. And so I really wanted to have a sit-down conversation to talk about wrestling and why it is a part of the Toonami generation culture. So with that being said, I was very, very happy that I was able to get Maddie J, the host of the excellent WrestleCast, which you can find on ReviewTopia.com, and I would do my parody of, or I really shouldn't call it a parody, it's my impression, is a more correct term, because I'm not parodying anything. I'm trying to capture the magic of the shades, but I would do my imitation of the shades, you know, whole Review Utopia thing, but I'll be doing that in a minute, so I'll let you judge as Maddie J does. But yeah, Matty J, he joined me. We had a conversation about wrestling. We talked wrestling, mostly kept it loose, talked about our favorites. And overall, I really had a fun time talking with him, and I can't thank him enough. Matty J is just a great, we really think on the same, you know, every time I'm listening to his podcast, I'm like, yeah, this is a guy I'm thinking on the same wavelength for the most part. Like, he'll say something, and I'll, like, finish the sentence like that as we talk about it, actually. But with all that being said, we're going to get into it. So I only have one more question for you, the listener. Are you ready? No! Absolution Network! I said, are you ready? Then, for the 35 big boob female anime figures and Gundam model kits in attendance. For the 50 internet listeners listening at home. He is the outlaw of the ReviewTopia.com WrestleCast, Matty J, the best in the world. I am the primetime producer of the Absolution Network, Thomas Primetime Mattis. We are the Absolution Network Wrestling Special, and let's get ready to stay golden! You think that you're better? And if you're not down with that, we've got two words for ya! Stay golden! Break it down!
You can tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to.
Well, you better get used to the way the war bounces. I see what you got, it measures in ounces. But that's a break, boy.
Hey there, the Absolution Network and my Toonami generation. Welcome to this very special podcast. I know you haven't heard me in a while. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Sorry for that. Real life has, shown its ugly head, and combined with the fact of my job and this weird, freaky schedule, it also being the Jewish High Holy Days, since I'm Jewish, and we're pretty involved in the temple, my grandmother and family is visiting, and they're staying in the living room, where I pretty much watch everything I review. So, yeah. Because mostly that's where I have the Netflix account. But, that's why you really haven't heard much of me the past couple weeks. But on this episode, I'm going to do something I've wanted to talk for a while. As you know, I talk about how this site is about the Toonami generation, not just, Toonami itself and animation, but also the Toonami generation and the entertainment that we watch and what represents us. Video games, anime, comics, you name it. And one of the things is wrestling. It's another reason why I also sometimes refer to the Toonami generation as the Attitude Generation, after the Attitude Era of the WWE. And since we're talking about wrestling, I can think of no better individual to help me talk about wrestling than the epic host of WrestleCast from, if I can channel my good friend Shade here for the second time tonight as I peel back the curtain, ReviewTopia, the site of the future, Matty J.
Again, that ain't half bad. A lot of people was like, did you do the first take? The first take sucked, It happens. I know exactly how he feels. After recording 160 episodes, we've had screw ups, so it happens. Well, but hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Yes, peel back the curtain. I forgot to hit the record button, folks. So we had like 10 minutes of us talking about Chikara and independent wrestling.
Which, by the way, King of Trios 2012 is awesome. Like, yes. if you got about $40, man, go for it. Digital download, 6 gigabytes, you're good. Believe me. Tell them Matt and Jay sent you. They probably won't know who I am, but it doesn't care. It doesn't matter.
Matty J is that big guy you saw in the Saturday Morning Slam this past week.
Which big guy? You're talking about the Mysterio Joe Perfect match, huh? Or, I'm sorry, Michael McGillicuddy for the uninitiated. Yeah, that was the match I was there for.
Yeah. I call him Joe Perfect, too.
You see, he listens to my podcast. He knows who Joe Perfect
is. He was taking his grandfather's name.
Joe Henning.
Joe Henning, when he was in FCW. See, because for those who don't know, I used to be in Florida, so yeah, I used to get to watch FCW. We'll talk about my what used to be my epic wrestling schedule a little bit later. Because I believe I've told you this in an email I sent to the show once.
I vaguely remember it. Like, it's weird for me production-wise. I read the emails, and maybe a couple weeks will go by, and after that, it just fades to my memory. Because, you know, we only have so much brain memory, you know.
I send it scarcely, because it seems like every time I send an email, it ends with you saying, I agree with him. Which I, like, you know, loop and play again and again.
I'm gonna hear it much. You know, I'm going through this system where I read most of the time, but we have the time. Like, I give myself half an hour to read all the comments. If it's the same thing, I mentioned, oh, he said the same thing and whatever. If it's simple, if there's a different opinion about anything or something that has been mentioned, I read it. So, yeah. I know you've, you know.
Well, you get emails. I don't get that many emails, so I cherish them when I can. But, you know, I'll guarantee you one thing. We won't be a hosky on a steak.
On a steak. You know, it's weird. I mean, you were in the chat and in the audience on Friday when we did the WrestleCast live.
Yeah.
I'm still a bit on that Jeff Dunham high.
Jeff. Oh, I can't wait for the new special to show.
Dunham.
Dunham. Okay.
The hell you said the Finn Bunny. I like the guy. It's stupid humor. That's why I like it.
I got to say the joke for you. When you said that on Friday night, I'm relaxing. I'm not one of those people that like to constantly be at the keyboard, but I was relaxing. And when you said Dunham, I maybe went, .com, we were so in sync. I'm like, God, we're like brothers from another mother sometimes, I think. But why are we talking about wrestling? Well, as I made the mention about how I also think of us sometimes as the Attitude Era. Mm-hmm. And because of that, you know, it is a thing for a lot of us. You know, we came into prominence 94, 2005. That's the prominence of the Tsunami Generation. But, you know, that's when we were like, you know, 10, 15, 20. But we were still kids that were born into the late 80s, early 90s. And so wrestling, I think, has been through most of our lives. Most of us were huge Hulk Hogan fans. I think I told you in an email once, but I know I went to see Hulk Hogan when the WWF at that time came to Anaheim. And it was a cage match between him and the Big Boss Man.
Yeah, I believe you told me about that, yes.
Yeah.
Like I said, I vaguely remember some emails, you know, from the past.
Yeah. But, you know, I know I grew up, you know, and I think a lot of people grew up, you know, knowing who Hulk Hogan was. And so wrestling, to some extent, was in a little bit of our life, you know, because people like Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, which had his own comic book, God help us all. Macho Man Randy Savage. I mean, these are names that we knew as kids and would even sometimes dress up as in Halloween. and then when we got into our teenage years, alongside things like Toonami and the stuff that was happening in comic books, like the Clone Saga with Spider-Man, the death of Superman, and the rise of video games like Mortal Kombat, you also had wrestling come into prominence after the rock and roll era, into what was known as the Attitude Era, because, you know, in WWE, you had Stone Cold Steve Austin, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, D-Generation X from Triple H, and The Rock. You at WCW, you had Hollywood Hogan, who, you know, say what you want, and I have my feelings on it. Still, I think, is a brilliant move, at least how they pulled it off. The whole NWO, I mean, it kept WCW in, what was it, 100-something straight weeks?
84 weeks in a row. Yeah. I have to channel a bit of Eric Bischoff there to remember, because, you know, the only way I remember facts, douchebag facts like that, is channeling a douchebag I'm sorry, this is a PG podcast, isn't it?
Oh, whoops. Maddie, you can say whatever you want. If I have to bleep it, I bleep it, but we'll put this as explicit. We have explicit podcasts on the site.
Well,
I'm just not usually explicit. Except when I'm talking about stuff like Ikitosin.
No, yeah. Them, you gotta use them swear words.
I like Ikitosin. I don't know about using swear words. That and Golden Boy. Have you ever seen Golden Boy?
I have not seen Golden Boy.
Do you know of Golden Boy?
I have heard of Golden Boy.
You know what? If you want, one time we'll have to get together. We'll use there's a special Skype function, and we'll watch it together. And you will laugh your ass off, sir.
I do remember watching something called Photon the Idiot Adventures, which is like a 6-part anime, which is like, I described it when I first watched it in college as Looney Tunes on crack.
but Golden Boy puts that to shame. But but yeah, WCW had their shows. You know, a lot of wrestlers that we know today. You know, late great Eddie Guerrero, the late Chris Benoit, Rey Mysterio, Booker T. A lot of wrestlers who've become well known to us. And of course, you also had ECW, which really. There's a lot responsible that ECW did, really putting good wrestling, really being the prototype for what Ring of Honor and a lot of independent wrestling organizations are today.
Yeah, for those who don't know, well, as Matisse told you folks, it's as simple as that. ECW started in 93-94 and got its prominence for doing stuff that WCW and WWF at the time weren't really keen into doing. You know, blood, weapons, real-like storylines, peeling back the curtain a little bit and showing a bit of the backstage stuff.
Yeah, a great combination of both, like, really good, strong, sort of really taking Japanese style, both in the sense of having, like, strong style matches, along with sort of the more hardcore
matches.
Actually,
the ratio, it's about the ratio. The ratio of good to shit matches in WWF was towards the shit matches. Yeah. Sorry, Brett. He tried. He had good matches, folks. I'm not saying he's a shit wrestler, but he's pulling a boat full of shit wrestlers. Well, him and Shawn Michaels. And a few other, but otherwise, it's all shit.
He appeared to Jake the Snake. He wasn't in his prime anymore.
Well, his drinking career wasn't his prime.
There's a shot tonight.
Warning, the following I cannot talk tonight. Warnings, the following features insensitive jokes. Just listen to the WrestleCast. It just gets worse from there.
At least you're not as bad as a TWK.
Oh, my God. You know, it's weird. I'm glad I got TWK. Because for those who don't know, who weren't there from the beginning, a lot of what made the WrestleCast fun to do in the first place was we got to cover the wrestling, as many good wrestling podcasts do, but we had a sense of humor to it. Like, we weren't afraid to have a chuckle, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that TWK, he's that guy who we like to call too soon. if you know what I'm talking about for the last.
And then you have him going, too soon, not soon enough.
Dot com!
He tried to ruin Jeff Dunham for me, and he hasn't.
Search your feelings, Jeff Avar.
Dunham.com. Let's get to the wrestling, for God's sakes.
Yeah. But, really, it is something I know. We're going to go into history here, because I know for me, like I said, I grew up with Hulk Hogan. And then, really, there's a sort of, and I've pretty much followed wrestling pretty much up to about 92, 94. And then it was about like 96 when Hogan made the jump to WCW. And then eventually turned on to.
Probably around 95, actually.
94, 95.
I'm not so sure.
I'm actually going back over my history because it's like, oh, I swear this was 94. It turns out it was 96. And so, like, I have my year, so I'm like. Because it's fun, because I'm, like, watching a lot of wrestling stuff on Netflix. Mm. And it's like, wow, this took place then? Like, well, then I would have had to come back on at this point. So it's like the real. I actually took, like, a break from watching wrestling. Like, sometime it was 97. It's like very soon after the NWO thing. Mm. As a kid, I was heartbroken that Hulk Hogan turned. I'm not afraid to admit it now. But so I actually did step away from wrestling for a bit, but I came back around late 99, 2000. I remember it at the time when SmackDown first came on. And I've pretty much been watching ever since. So, yeah, I mean,
for me, it's a little weird, because I started watching full time, so to speak, in 2000, just at the end, like a tail end of the Attitude Era.
Time as me, when I came back on, yeah. Too.
So. You know, that's when you had the good stuff. I mean, 2000, you have, let's see. And this was late 2000, but the first match I saw was in December of 2000, when it was the first match I remember watching was Guerrero, the Radicals. That was Guerrero, Saturn, and Malenko versus the Hardy Boys.
Benoit was a part of the Radicals.
One there as well, yeah. So, if I'm not mistaken, it probably was a part of something else.
Yeah.
So.
I came in right before the whole McMahon-Helmsley storyline happened.
Hmm.
Which, you know, it's funny to, like, oh, the worst, that really was the worst kept secret in the WWE. Like, we do remember there was a storyline. We're not dumb.
Mm-hmm. We're not dumb. I said, oh, wait, they're doing this thing again. Most people were going, meow, when they heard Katie Vick. I said, dude, you have no idea. Little kid's going, who's Katie Vick? Kid, you don't want to know. That's a dark little place in Kane's mind.
Kind of like how China is now a dark little place in the WWE's mind, as far as they're concerned.
It's a dark. Are you kidding me? It's a dark fucking place in all of our minds now. We're talking in the adult section of the non-blockbuster, the mom and pop store.
I have a gentleman who's at my workplace here. You know, apparently he found out I was a wrestling fan, so I'm not like I'm his new best friend, and he's a great person. But he, he gets like, who do you think is going to Hall of Fame? Do you think China might be inducted? I'm like, not with Linda McMahon running for Senate.
No, not with Linda McMahon trying to be all government and shit. Not with WWE still PG, I'll tell you.
Well, probably during fun, we'll talk more about, who's to blame for WWE being PG.
I can answer that question right now, Linda. Linda. That's who I blame.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that. But, my history, and pretty much through the thousands, just watching WWE, eventually TNA burst on the scene on cable TV, and early TNA is really my first introduction to, like, real independent wrestling, as far as, what independent wrestling is today. With the six-sided ring and, AJ Styles. And, I was there when Samoa Joe first premiered in TNA.
Back when Samoa Joe was good.
Back when Samoa Joe would kill you. And I remember that.
Joe to kill you.
I remember watching that.
Those were good days.
Unlike now, but yeah. I remember that first great triple threat between Joe, Styles, and Daniel. Still one of my favorites.
I don't blame you.
I think I came in right. It was the pay-per-view right before, or it was right before the pay-per-view where Triple X, which was Daniels and Elix Skipper, faced America's Most Wanted in a steel cage. The infamous steel cage match where Elix Skipper tight-roped the top of the cage and Hurricane Rana. Was it Wildcat or James Storm he Hurricane Rana'd?
Who cares? It was awesome.
Yes, it was.
I remember that spot, though. Honestly, that was awesome.
That was literally, that was awesome. That was awesome. But yeah, and it really did get to, I was going to talk about this earlier, but it was a thing to where pretty much a couple years ago, my weekly schedule was almost nothing but wrestling. Mm-hmm. It was Monday night was Raw. Tuesday night was NXT. Wednesday was the free night. Thursday night was Superstars and TNA.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night was SmackDown. And then the weekend was just a mix bomb. At 9 a.m. it was AMW Classics on ESPN Classics, which is very weird to see Eric Bischoff as a backstage reporter.
As in the bitch.
Yeah. then I would now turn to one of the Mexican channels for Puerto Rican wrestling.
Ooh, that's some good stuff.
And then later in the day, it would be it was Galaxy Vision at the time. It was the AAA promotion.
Ooh.
And then Sunday would be a repeat of the AAA promotion, or if it was a pay-per-view, they had shown the second half of the pay-per-view. And then right as that would get done, I would switch over to watch FCW. So that for a long time there, that was my weekly TV schedule.
Epic, to say the least, that's for sure.
The only thing that was missing was Ring of Honor. And they had not gotten a TV contract at that time.
You know, it's you know, for me, it was the busiest it got was Monday was Ring of Honor back when they had a HDNet deal. Because, you know, little known fact, I would stream at the time I streamed it.
Yeah.
And I still do for, you know, when I do Monday Night Riffs, simply because the score here in Canada airs at 9 regardless and it has a 15-minute delay. Where they show, you know, highlights or whatever, like a refresher for the newbie, I guess.
Yeah.
So there's that, unfortunately. But there's well, let's see. There's well, Monday was the busiest week would be Ring of Honor Monday with Monday Ring of Honor Monday Night Raw. Tuesday you had NXT. Wednesday was the free night. Thursday, Impact, Superstars. Friday at SmackDown. Of course, I did the WrestleCast as well. Saturday and Sunday were really the free ones, really. So it was a busy five-day week.
I don't think a lot of people knew Galaxy Vision was showing wrestling at the time. I think they now switch over to showing CMLL, which is the promotion which Sin Cara came from. When I came on, it was very funny. It was like around summer, and it would when they showed their version of WrestleMania, and I was immediately hooked to watching them when for the World Heavyweight Championship match. This was the same summer as the first Iron Man movie.
Hmm.
The World Heavyweight Champion, which was a Cinetico, who was actually in the WWE for a match. He was in the 1997 Royal Rumble. For those who don't know, in the 1997 Royal Rumble, There was like a string of Mexican wrestlers as part of a partnership that WWE did that were in the Royal Rumble. And he was one of them. He was one of their young superstars. That's a hopefully a little fact. I don't know if Maddie knew that fact.
I did not.
I was waiting for you. What, is he either going to correct me or it's like, go, hmm.
I'm listening in. That's really all it is.
Yeah. But he came out as Iron Man.
Topical. I you know, I got nothing. I don't watch as much Mexican wrestling as I probably should. So.
Well, it was like Rey Mysterio. You know, you watch WrestleMania, you hope there's a Rey Mysterio match just to see what outfit he's going to come out in.
Of course.
Yeah. I'm waiting for him to bring back the Spider-Man trunks, which he had in New Japan Pro. Which, go on YouTube, watch some of Rey Mysterio's early stuff when he's in New Japan Pro, where he's facing Ultimo Dragon and.
You would swear he's. You know, it's weird. Don't ruin Rey Mysterio if you're the young ones. They're going to go, Rey Mysterio's awesome. You show him a Japan match. Rey Mysterio sucks now. That 619 is bullcrap.
You know what? For his age, he's still awesome. For his age.
For his age,
awesome.
Of course. For his age. And, you know, knowing how it is to go through a knee surgery myself, I know having six. You're not supposed to be moving at the quickness he's moving, so yeah. I feel for the guy.
Yeah. And he's still doing better than most of the wrestlers out there, considering his two blown knees.
Sad but true. Yeah.
But with that, we're going to move on to, I think, favorites. And we're just going to go over a list of favorite wrestlers, tag teams, matches, Probably going to have multiple choices because it's too hard to pick one.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to be for me.
But I'm going to start favorite sort of cruiserweight and cruiserweight matches of your memory.
You know, cruiserweight matches, here's the thing history-wise. I could only have access to Raw and Raw-related product because I only had TSN and we didn't have the score when I was younger, so I didn't watch SmackDown. I only watched Raw. So WWE cruiserweight matches were, at best. I didn't watch them as much. And really, I didn't. Like I said, the height of the cruiserweight division was in '96. I wasn't '96, '97, '98. I wasn't watching back then, but. If I have to pinpoint one match in particular that I was like I really, really liked to watch, one of my favorite pay-per-views was Survivor Series 2002, which is infamous for being the debut of the Elimination Chamber, which, by the way, that's my favorite Chamber match, too. You know, it's a slow decline. It's like in my review of December to Dismember. After that first one, it's a slow decline from here. Very slow, because the next couple were good, too. But it just happens to be my favorite. But it also included a Cruiserweight title match between Jamie Noble and Billy Kidman. And, of course, the fact that it was Madison Square Garden helps a little bit. But,
Yeah.
It was a great match, and I remember loving to watch that, so there you are, I guess.
A lot of the good matches, especially, Rey Mysterio versus Chris Jericho back in the WCW days, those were some really awesome matches. And for that, Rey Mysterio versus Dean Malenko were some really good matches in the WCW days that I remember. I mean, favorite cruiserweight, obviously Rey Mysterio, I think, is there, along with AJ Styles, which I know that's everybody's dream match, and it's easy to say, but I really did grow up watching Rey Mysterio's career, and it was something big for me at WrestleMania 22 to watch him win the World Heavyweight Championship when you've been watching him for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
But those Rey Mysterio had an awesome match with Psychosis in ECW. It was a... I think it was a last man standing match or something.
It was like they were running all over the place, basically.
Yeah. But it was a sort of this Mexican version of it. But I thought it was a really awesome match.
Mm-hmm. It was a great match. I remember watching the match. That was wild. The crowd, it's ECW Arena, so you know the crowd is wild as well. So.
Well, then that's part of it. I'm going to throw this as a cruiserweight because one of my favorite pay-per-views, and I'll probably talk about it again later, ECW One Night Stand 2006, the first one.
The first one's 2005.
Was it two? I couldn't remember if it was 2005 or 2006.
2005, I can confirm. Okay. I have the DVD.
They're kind of cruiserweights, but Chris Jericho as Lionheart versus Lance Storm. And the triple threat between Tajiri, Nunzio, and Super Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That, I felt, was a good sort of cruiserweight-style match. And then, of course, you had Rey Mysterio versus Sabu.
Yeah. And Joey Styles shooting on Mike Awesome is, you know, a little bonus.
Oh, well, we'll probably talk a lot about 2005 One Night Stand, because, God, that's what a pay-per-view should be.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite tag teams?
Dudley's. Dudley's. though, I really don't... It's weird. I mean, you could say my favorite's the Dudley's, and... That would technically be accurate, but like I said, the tag team divisions all over the place really aren't, you know, yeah, it's, like I said, a very big decline. So it's a case of, you know, it's hard to pick one because there aren't so many anymore.
I'm not saying like pick now, but, you know,
history wise, New Age Outlaws.
I mean, I grew up on Harlem Heat. I wish... I don't know what the deal is with Stevie Ray. I would love to see them do something with Stevie Ray with Booker T.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be awesome him, like, be, you know, make Stevie Ray the head of his, you know, tag team assistant. Mm-hmm. Ahead of being in charge of the tag team division of WWE. That would be awesome. But, you know, I grew up on Harlem Heat. I even got to tell Brian Knobbs that I always cheered for Harlem Heat.
Yeah.
No, he, oddly enough, it was at synagogue, too. my old temple had the men's club did a sporting night. And one year they had Brian Knobbs as a special guest.
Oh, no. Okay. How pissed did he get?
No. Well, it was a Jewish. So don't, about as alcohol of a drink you'd find there is Manischewitz. And it takes a lot of Manischewitz to get drunk. Trust me.
Okay.
So, no, he was not drunk, but it was funny. You know, all these sportscasters and professional sports athletes, and there's Brian Knobbs.
Yeah.
In synagogue. It's like, there's something surreal about this.
Yeah.
And especially considering the fact that it was mostly old people, I'm like, they have no idea who the hell this person is. I am the only person who knows who the hell he is.
And you're laughing your damn ass off.
Yes. And so I asked him a wrestling question, well, you know, thank you for Nikos. Thank you for sporting us. It's like, well, actually, I was always cheering for Harlem Heat. And he loved my answer so much that he gave me a picture of him and his partner, which I still have somewhere, I think. but, you know, Harlem Heat, Dudley's, I... Still can't believe they allowed the Dudleys to powerbomb Mae Young off the stage through a table.
You know what, dude? They probably Mae Young said, dude, you don't let me do this. I'm going to show my boobs to tits on national television again. And they probably went, you know what, Vince? She'll do it. She's nuts enough to do it.
Yeah. As I watch more of the New Age Outlaws matches, I definitely agree with you on that. Triple X was a great tag team in TNA.
Mm-hmm.
Team Canada, I thought, was a really good heel tag team in TNA. I'm trying to think of more. I mean, especially now we're getting to watch Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor's tag team division is...
Yeah, it's top-notch.
Yeah.
Though it doesn't take much to get top-notch, you know, in today's market, but it's top-notch, no less.
Yeah. Kings of Wrestling, you know, which, please,
yes.
WWE.
Yes, yes.
Please.
Please with a cherry on top.
But I will say this. I am into Brian and Kane. His tag team shit.
It's weird because it's Odd Couple. It's the Odd Couple all over again. And it works because it's freaky. It's odd enough for it to work.
I just want to shake the hand of the writer who wrote those doctor session segments.
Find a dude a beer or a rum and coke or something. Jeez.
I mean, just for the fact that he can remember that Kane once electrocuted a guy's balls. Just for that. It's like, I remember that. God, I feel old. Buy that man a beer.
Do you remember who it was against?
I believe it was Shane McMahon, wasn't it?
It was their feud from SummerSlam all the way to Unforgiven.
Yeah. Because I was like, it took me a couple minutes actually to remember, because I was like, it was either Shane McMahon or it was Goldust. And I was confused because I remember that Goldust also got electrocuted once, and there was a whole gimmick of him being...
No, yeah. And there's a superhero in training, S-H-I-T. Shit! Yep.
What was that?
No, I said yep.
But, I'm really there. And the fact that, you know what? The only thing that was wrong with this past match, I know we're diverging off course.
Mm-hmm.
But because Edge was there, I was so expecting a concerto.
No, dude, it's PG. It's shots to the head.
Yeah, I know. I know. But it's like, I could hope.
A man can dream, man. I'm not going to stop you from doing that.
But, yeah, definitely Ring of Honor has the Hardys, Edge and Christian, that along with the Dudleys, their tag team matches are epic. You know, I still don't think there's one any more epic than, was it the first one or the second one that Edge did the spear? It was the second one, wasn't it?
The spear from
the ladder.
The ladder. I believe it's TLC. The first TLC man. The WrestleMania TLC.
Yeah, that was the second one, wasn't it?
The TLC 2. Yeah.
Yeah, that's still probably one of my favorite tag team matches of all time. Alongside that first ladder match for Terry Runnels back when we could actually have TNA and WWE.
Yeah. But I'm Trish.
Yeah. We'll get to that when
we'll
get to
the Trish. When we get to Trish.
But favorite tag team matches, if you can remember them.
Oh man. This is I'm going through my head right now which ones I remember fondly. Good Lord.
Well, that's the example of you remember them finally. You can pull them right off your head.
Yeah, there's not too many, but I'm trying to remember the people involved. Because it was, well, TLC, you named one. TLC, my favorite TLC match, which would count as a tag match, would be the one from Raw Roulette, like the first one. where Kane was no joke, the tag team champion, because Hurricane was taken out. It involved Rob Van Dam and Spike versus the Hardys versus the Dudleys, I think.
I believe so, yeah.
So that was one of my favorites. Actually, I'll from that era. Good Lord.
I mean, it is hard to choose because just the endless matches between the Hardys, Edge and Christian, yeah, the Dudleys, and the other tag teams.
Pick them. You know, that's really, you know, you pick one, it'll be a good one. I don't. You'll be hard pressed to say you remember had them having a bad match.
Absolutely.
Simply say.
And you know, and as you, I was waiting for you, and you just think of other tag teams and some good men. You know, I thought Kendrick and London were a pretty very good tag team. They were fun to watch. But you know, Eddie and Chavo,
Los Guerreros, Lion Team, Stealing. That was a good team. Caden, I remember, this is, you know, a little bit of a gimmick, a comedy feud, but DX versus the Spirit Squad always got a chuckle out of me. Their elimination handicap match from Saturday night's main event of that year. There's a particular spot where, you know, it's during the commercial or a little bit before the, or after a commercial, where, you know, they, of course, the idiots bring a bullhorn, because they do.
Yep.
And they go, okay, time out, huddle. And they're outside of the ring, Spirit Squad, outside of the ring. I was like, you do this, you do that. And Triple H just picks up a bullhorn, like an air horn. Right in their ears. And the line from Jim Ross, meeting adjourned.
We'll get to favorite announced teams as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because we got to talk about that.
That was a great little spot. And their matches, not great little wonders, but they were fun as hell.
But glad to see that the stench of, you know, actual crap from a porta potty has not ruined Nikki's career.
Oh, boy. For those who don't know, Nikki! That's
the now known as Dolph Ziggler. The show off.
Mm-hmm. The guy that used to wear pink, but now since they're doing pink stuff, he has to wear black.
You know what? We did Cruiserweight, Light Heavyweights and Cruiserweights. We did tag teams. Let's go to Divas.
Trish. Though, Trish. If there's like a top three list, it would probably go Trish, Mickie James, I always had a great match, Trish, and if you had a third one, I wouldn't put Lita in there, but she'd be like top five. Third one I would have to give to, from that era, actually give it to Jazz. She's, you know, in WWE, ECW, she got her.
For those who remember who Jazz is.
Sorry?
For those who remember who Jazz is, like I do.
Yeah. ECW, she was one of their tougher women, but in WWE, she's a good heel, but, you know, when you hear her stuff and everything else, vastly underrated, if you ask me, of course.
But, you know, Death, you know, it's interesting with me when it comes to deep. Divas, or for that matter, for women wrestlers, you know, it really is a thing. I separate to divas as, you know, divas are really more entertainment purposes, but then women's wrestlers, and it's no disrespect to, you know, women who, you know, are just in those roles and management roles, but, you know,
of course,
women wrestlers are in a different, you know, really category, and so I really have two different. So for me, for like women wrestlers, I have Trish Stratus as number three, Lita at number two, and Awesome Kong at number one. with Gail Kim, like, a very close number four to Trish.
Gail Kim, like, if it's a top 10, you could pretty much put all of them on that list, really.
Yeah.
But when it comes
to divas, you know, that's, for me, those are more of, you know, the sexy type. And the thing is, you know, Trish Stratus is on that list, but she's actually not in my top three. My top three for that list would have to be at number three, Lea Meow. For all those who remember her.
I don't, says. Shocking.
Maybe I'm saying her name wrong. She wasn't WCW, but she was in ECW. She was the Asian chick who... Or Kimona, excuse me.
Kimona Wanalea.
Thank you.
I know what you're talking about.
I think I was thinking of her WCW name.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah. But Kimona, yeah, she's number three. She is... Woo! Smoking hot.
Indeed.
Number two is Sable.
Yes.
Got it. And how she ended up being married to Brock Lesnar, I have no idea.
Don't go to me for that one. I got nothing on that one either.
Like, isn't she like 20 years older than him?
Like I said, don't ask. I cannot answer.
But my favorite is, bar none, because I watched her in WCW, and she was great in WWE, Tori Wilson.
You know, it's weird. I don't remember having too many good matches, unfortunately, but like I said...
Well, I'm not going as much on sort of women's matches as far as just being entertainment from a, you know, what the divas are, which is more entertainment. But, you know, but that being said, favorite women's matches and diva moments. And when I say diva moments, I'm talking about, you know, bra and panty matches, swimsuit, stuff like that.
Of course. The standard of the day.
Back when we used to be able to have mud wrestling matches and no one had a big problem with it because they got it.
You know, that's what it was. I mean, if you're talking about just by general hotness, then Trish, Lita, and I wouldn't put Sable because Sable's a slut, and we all know it. But Molly Holly. And
wow.
Is, yeah, for me, out of preference, when she was Mighty Molly as a superhero.
You know, Maria Mirandis, I believe that's her
Maria
name.
Maria Kanellis, yeah.
Did a pretty good, was it her or was it Kelly Kelly who did a Molly Go Round this past year at WrestleMania?
Molly Go Round, that's Molly Holly.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying, no, one of those two pulled that off this past year at WrestleMania.
I think that was Kelly.
Yeah. Well, I think it was. Yeah, I just remember it's going, you know, that was a pretty good Molly Go Round. Molly Holly would be proud.
Yes.
Especially considering if it was Kelly, for her to pull such a move off. But when I look at my favorite matches, anytime Trish Stratus and Lita faced off against each other,
yes,
was an awesome match. Gail Kim versus Awesome Kong. Oh my God!
Oh, those were great matches. Oh yeah.
Those are matches like, you know it's a great match when you think somebody just got killed at the end of it.
when the results in the ring looked like a car wreck, like a carless car wreck, you know you did a good job. True.
Yes. Your favorite women's matches?
Oh boy.
And I apologize. I know I put you on this.
Yeah, like you're throwing me off a little bit. Favorite women's matches, straight up. You know, I remember Trish and Lita having a good feud in 2006.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Beth Phoenix, anything Beth Phoenix would do with Michelle McCool, those were decent matches, but that's more 2010. In 2001, you didn't have too many women's matches. 2002, 2003. Really, Trish Stratus had had gotten to a point where, oh, this is good.
Yeah.
So, anything Trish Stratus would do was awesome.
Yeah.
In that era.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, pretty much the entire era, because you really had a lot of good wrestlers, because you had Trish Stratus, you had Lita, you had Jacqueline, who, you know, for a muscular black woman, was really sexy, but at the same time, really good in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember those swimsuits she would wear. Which, that's actually going to be one of my diva moments, because how funny it is. But, yep, her, Ivory, I think this is around the time that, I'm trying to remember her WWE name. She's in TNA now.
Mm.
She's now in a feud with her partner.
Oh, that one.
Probably the wrong person to be asking.
Yeah. here's the thing. I don't follow TNA wrestling anymore.
No. Oh, I know,
it's
but it's like...
It's become a headache.
Yes. No, I completely understand. The only reason I watch it is because there really is, outside of Wipeout, there is absolutely nothing on to watch.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was definitely a good era. For me, favorite Divas matches, number three, the 2000 Royal Rumble bikini contest.
Hmm.
Do you remember that one?
Yes.
You know, a lot of great bathing suits. They even had what's her name? The weird ponytail, who was like the manager of I'm blanking on their names, but
are you perhaps thinking of Basham Brothers maybe?
Not the Basham Brothers. One of the guys would go on to be Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Oh, wait. Stacy Keibler.
No, it wasn't Stacy Keibler.
Big Bad Booty Daddy, that was Scott Steiner. Medeza, I think.
No, I'm mistaken. I meant Big Daddy V.
Oh, you mean Lillian Garcia.
What's that going?
The announcer, this, yeah.
No, this wasn't during... I'm confusing you, and I apologize. I'm not trying to backtrack to it. But it was back when he was known as Viscera.
Yeah.
This is back, like, in 2000. Something Moon?
Luna Vachon, maybe?
Thank you, Luna.
There you go.
We had the backtrack.
We got to it. If this was the $20,000 pyramid, we wouldn't be winning.
Still, we wouldn't. But you had Kat, former wife of the King, won't live King,
and
by the way.
The reason why Paul Heyman was in commentary for about a few months in 2001.
Yeah, but with her bubble wrap bikini, and you think that's the end of it, which is an awesome ending. No. Here comes Mae Young.
Yeah, we're not going to go further than that right there, folks, for the sake of your brain not melting.
Which would then later go on into the whole her giving birth to a hand, which...
Like I said, we're not going to go any further.
Well, I just want to say that because Raw 1000.
Yeah.
God bless the writer who put that joke in. He must have read my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was on the floor rolling. But well, where was I? I was talking about diva moments.
Mm-hmm.
Sable, what was it, 96, 97?
Yes.
The handprints, which made it... I can't believe that made number 5 on WWE's top 50 most outrageous moments.
Well, it's a diva match.
Well, see, it wasn't even a diva, man. It was a bikini swimsuit competition.
Hmm.
And just the hand prints. And by the way, it on that DVD, two of the funniest moments. One is John Cena talking about Sable's handprints.
Yeah.
The other is CM Punk losing it when talking about referee White's videos.
No, no.
Do you remember
the suicide videos?
The suicide videos, yes.
Oh, good Lord.
CM Punk is losing. Like, why are we talking about this? It's horrible. And he's losing it. It's like, but
it's stupid, but it's hilarious at the same time.
Yes.
And I don't blame him.
And an early Josh Matthews, like, oh.
He cut his teeth, folks. He cut his teeth.
Yes. Yes, he did. But my number one Divas moment, as far as a Divas moment, Bikini Contest 2003, Judgment Day.
Yeah.
Tori Wilson versus Sable.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Do you need to change your pants there?
Kind of, yeah. But my favorite part is Taz stumbling in the ring. And the look on King's face. This is why announce teams and announcers can make or break a match. Which is a great segue, because we got to talk about announce teams and favorite announcing moments.
All right, disclaimer. Fuck Michael Cole. We're done. Actually, you know what? You talked about announcers. I shouldn't say that, because him and Taz, when they were doing SmackDown for a bit, these guys were good.
Yeah, I agree with you. That was one of the reasons why I never got like the hate towards Michael Cole at first, because like, what do you mean he was bad? He did really good with Taz. But then again, that was probably, and a lot of that had to do with, you know, Taz would put him in his place.
Yeah.
You know. Which, if you have, like, any SmackDown game, you can hear that.
Yep.
But him, you know, you have to say, and we'll talk more about favorite moments with them, but JR and the King have to be on there.
Of course. Yeah, you have no choice. Joey Styles would be a team of his own, what was in ECW, but King and JR were above and beyond the best team of that era. And
yeah,
it was the dynamic, straight lace, but had a little bit of emotion into it, told the story as it is, and you had the guy trying to be the heel.
Yeah, and a lot of funny moments we'll get to, but you know, you brought Joey Styles. Joey Styles both on his own, but also when he would, you know, have the franchise.
Oh yeah,
because one of my favorite
was my. I have Heat Wave 98 somewhere in my hard drive. That was some good commentary, man.
But no, but I'll bring it up because they were doing commentary on what's one of my favorite matches of all time. I won't tell you now, but we'll get to it. Mm-hmm. But Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yes.
They really set the prototype for what all these announced teams would be.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tony
Schiavone.
The early Tony Schiavone. They had Tony Schiavone, Bobby Brain Heenan, and I'm trying to remember the other guy.
The other guy might be either Mike Tenay, or you'd have Mongo and Michael. You had
I think it was Mongo and Michael then.
Most likely, yeah.
Oh wait, who? Did he eventually go on? Larry Zbyszko, thank you. That's who it was. Larry Zbyszko, Bobby the Brain Heenan, and Tony Schiavone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really, they make those like 96, 95 WCW matches classic. Especially that first match where Hogan defeats Flair for the title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good call. Of course, Heenan going, no, Hogan, not Hogan. He was predicting, folks. He was predicting the future.
Oh, but no, it's awesome. Did you ever watch the? It's on Netflix, but if you watch like the Hulk Hogan DVD that's like on Netflix right now, and you just see how many like wow, in the early days of the Rock and Roll WWE, how often it was Bobby the Brain Heenan involved in trying to screw Hogan out of the title.
Yeah. Of course.
Of course.
But a favorite, because I know you have to have like a lot of them on your mind, but like maybe favorite matches, at least calls for a match, or favorite calls individually during a match.
Favorite calls, favorite match call, with favorite the best calls. Best Lord.
Lord.
Lord. Of recent memories, I'm going to lower my mic a little bit here. Lower my speaker there.
Speaker there.
Actually, hold on.
Actually, hold on.
I hear myself. That's hear weird. Myself. But if I have to pick one, of recent memory, it would have to be the Hell in a Cell match between Triple H and Undertaker. That call helped it a little bit, but the match itself was cool. The call. Let's see. The match between actually Masato Tanaka and Mike Awesome from One Night Stand 2005. Joey Styles included was a cool match to listen to. There's one.
Well, pretty much the entire commentary during 2005 One Night Stand.
It was just there. Added that little zinger, but that was a Joey Styles production there.
Yes.
Mostly.
Probably, you know. This is the greatest professional night of my life. Sorry, honey, too. We're going to get arrested tonight. When he put when he lit the table on fire.
I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Was it we're going to get arrested? No, we're going to get thrown in jail tonight.
Yeah.
And, I'm going to say right off the bat, probably my favorite all-fight memory that I can bring off the top of my head that really made this match for me was WrestleMania 22, which I think WrestleMania 22 is one of the best WrestleManias pretty much of all time, just in my mind. Alongside WrestleMania 23, I think back-to-back, those are like probably the best back-to-back WrestleManias.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I'm but, going back to the called matches. One that particularly comes to mind when it comes to great calls. There was this match between Hogan and McMahon.
At WrestleMania 19?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. But the one I was about to bring up, though, was a Vince McMahon one, too. It was Shawn Michaels versus Vince McMahon at WrestleMania 22.
Oh.
That was...
That's wrong!
It's gone!
Cuts win!
Oh, Cuts win! Cuts win! Harry Carey heard that one in heaven! I'm so glad that we both picked the same exact thing that we liked about that call. Hit him over the head with it and shove it up his ass!
Yeah.
Easy, JR!
Yeah, Jim Ross was a little biased. And I hear someone going, really?
Oh, but the call for that entire match with him and King was awesome. And the call later that night with Cena versus Triple H was also very, very good.
Yeah.
And especially considering you really could also – the thing that's interesting about that WrestleMania, I think, is the fact that you could really feel how shocked they were of who the crowd was cheering for.
Yeah. they fought all their ducks in a row when with the John Cena thing. And then they hear Triple H. And then they hear actually I think a good precursor of what you were going to get was the press the press conference. Beforehand, Cena booed out the damn building. No one was like, what? And they fought. it was going to be just like a small part of the crowd. No, it was the entire fucking crowd.
It was. That's when you really got your first like, well, what Chicago was, which it's proven that throughout the years. But no, I didn't see the press conference. My first inkling of it was the Divas match between Mickey James and Trish Stratus, where they were cheering for Mickey James.
And for those who don't know, James was supposed to be the heel.
Yeah. I just remember Taz going, you know, this crowd in Chicago is kind of wonky, you know, cheer boo, whatever your problem, that's great. It's like he caught in mid-sentence, he was probably saying something he should have, though.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of that, also the call for that heavyweight championship match.
Oh yeah. When Rey Mysterio finally won that title, I think a lot of people are going, yes, finally. And others are going, hey, nice, congratulations, you shocked the world.
Yeah, but that call was awesome. And a lot of the calls during the Royal Rumbles are very, very funny to listen to as well.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite, I think, ultimately was a recent Royal Rumble, Madison Square Gardens, the one that John Cena won.
Oh, yeah, the one when he returned and Triple H had the shit face.
Which, that was a great moment in that Royal Rumble. But the commentary team on that Royal Rumble, because you had three different teams. You had, I believe it was Cole and Coach, which is still weird to see Coach on ESPN.
How weird is it to see Todd Grisham on ESPN? Might be
that too, yes. But Coachman and Cole, you had Taz and Styles, and then King and JR.
Yes.
That was a very good call, Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
With that, wrestlers.
Yes.
As we get probably our two.
That's where we. That's when we get to the nitty gritty here.
Well, I'm going to say this right off the bat. I know it's controversial. Chris Benoit is in my top three. I know a lot of people want to hold against him for, you know, how his life ended and that whole situation, which was truly sad. But the fact is, I had been a huge fan of his my entire life, and it's like, I'm one of those people, I don't immediately jump to what, you know, people think your feelings should be. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm not just going to say that I wasn't a fan of his, because his life ended badly. Yeah, which is probably putting it worse
than that's where I'm going to be with you on this, because honestly, I just choose to remember the wrestler, not whatever happened outside the ring. Did he do the things he did? Yeah. But that's one thing. A very gruesome thing, I'll grant you. But at the end of the day, he did one thing. It's like, for me, it's like, dude, he was an awesome wrestler.
It had so many great matches as well, too.
Mm-hmm. There's other stuff in there too. I mean, for me, it was I have a very long list of favorite wrestlers. Triple H being on top of it, of course. Michaels was on top. Let's see, Jericho is always a guy I like to watch. And as far as recent stuff, for me, it's simple. I love watching anything with Kevin Steen in it, because as of late, the guy's nuts.
He's the only guy in the world who will literally do everything to be a heel in the building and be cheered out of the building.
He buried New York, and New York freaking loved it. You know the guy is just freaking over. That's what it is.
But again, for me, Rey Mysterio's up there. I really love Booker T as a wrestler. He's just so entertaining to watch for me. Before I go to more current wrestlers, I'm trying to think. Taz. when he was wrestling was one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. You know, I love watching suplex after suplex. With that being said, Kurt Angle. I love me some Kurt Angle. I liked AJ Styles more in his earlier career.
Of course.
You know?
Of course.
Yeah, like early in TNA, not more now, but thinking that's probably more due to the current staff.
I'm going to give credit to TNA for one thing. That feud between Austin Aries and Bobby Roode.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Mm. Yeah, it was really Hulk Hogan. It's funny, I always say that growing up, my three heroes were Hulk Hogan, Godzilla, and Martin Luther King Jr. And that is the only time you will hear anybody ever put those three people or things in the same sentence together.
Mm-hmm.
And I just scared Matty J.
No, it's not. I've heard scarier.
But yeah, Hulk. Yeah, I grew up a Hulkamania. It's one of the difficult things because, of course, everybody grew up a Hulkamania fan. Everybody grew up, you know, with and had WWE Volume 1, the soundtrack on. Well, I don't know if you did, but I know I did. And I would constantly. And you'd play everything, and you'd pretend to be the wrestlers. You know, you'd run around the house pretending you're the Ultimate Warrior.
Guilty. Guilty.
So Diamond Dallas Page, I thought was a really good wrestler who didn't get his due.
Oh, he got his due. It's just he very late to it. That's it.
Yeah. But you know, I really if you can think of any more, you jump in, please. Yeah.
Well.
Goldberg, just because it was fun to hear a Jewish chant every Monday night. As a Jew.
Yeah. There's, you know, there's very few that I could actually, you know, name right off the bat, which is, you know, again, it's hard for me to remember. From WCW, there's not too many, you know, wrestlers that, you know, well, it's weird. Suffice it to say, it's weird with WCW.
Yeah. More and more I watch of him, Lance Storm.
If I could be serious for a minute, I'm from Calgary.
Dramatic pause.
Alberta, Canada.
Exactly. That was cool.
Yeah, and with more recent wrestling, you know, again, I like Triple H as well. I know I said Kurt Angle earlier. Edge, really good wrestler. Recent wrestlers, Daniel Bryan,
mm-hmm.
better known Bryan as Danielson, Bryan Danielson.
CM Punk. Those are guys you could just go, okay. You watch matches, like, okay, that was awesome.
Tyler Black, a.k.a. Seth Rollins. And, you know, it's not so much for what he did in Ring of Honor, though he did great stuff in Ring of Honor. It's what I've seen him do in FCW/NXT.
Yeah, because he's gotten better. He was still a relevant newcomer when he became Ring of Honor World Champion.
And he's just gotten better and better, mm-hmm. and I cannot wait till they finally bring him. And that would be a great way to bring him up would be, you know, him being a partner with John Cena to face CM Punk and maybe Brock Lesnar. You know, him being a mystery partner. Because mm-hmm. I think that would, like, especially if it's during a pay-per-view, watch the crowd go wild.
Well, you have to be sure it's the right crowd. You know, if it's, you know, yeah. Chicago, you're gonna get a good pop. New York, you'll get a hell of a pop. Philly, debut him in Philly.
Well, when we get to fun, I'll talk about my CM Punk story since I was at Wizard World. But, last one I'll say, and he really has become my favorite wrestler, and he's quickly becoming all time, and I know people boo him, but, you know, John Cena. And it's just for his work ethic that he puts in and what he does for the industry. I mean, he's literally, for my point, Because the WWE, not only did they have to deal with the whole, because of the Chris Benoit situation of having to become PG.
Yeah.
And all these wrestlers, you know, because of injury or wanting to go to MMA or whatever, going away, between John Cena and Edge, they pretty much had to carry the company for a couple of years.
Yeah, they had to.
And especially with, you know, still as young as John Cena was and what he was able to do. And really, it's to a level that we really haven't seen since Hulk Hogan. And I know he hates being compared to that, but it really is that thing to where, you know, watching that DVD and watching people chasing down his car in the parade for the Fiesta Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And adds that he really is, you know, it really is one of the things where it depends on who the wrestler is. Because John Cena, I think, is one of those wrestlers where he lets the other guy lead, and he uses that to his advantage. So if you have a wrestler who's not good at leading, yeah, it can look like a bad match. But when you have somebody like a CM Punk or a Triple H, you know, for him to face, or a Daniel Bryan, it's a really good match.
Mm-hmm.
And just for the fact that he's one of those few wrestlers in the WWE keeping submission wrestling alive. I mean, now you have Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, but really, he was really one of the few only big names keeping submission. I mean, yeah, he has the STFU, but he's now thrown in the crossface as well.
Yeah, a lot of people talking about, you know, he's not that good. He sucks. Yeah, but at the same time, he's very limited. That's what it is. I mean, for me, it's like I just watch because A, it's good. I mean, I'm not gonna, you know, I'm never ever. You're never gonna catch me saying he's had match of the year, but match of the night is very possible.
Well, he's at least had match of the year's contenders, I think. But you know, for me, when people, you know, talk about the Five Moons and Dooms and that stuff, you know, I just go, but he's a throwback to old school wrestlers, to Bruno Sammartino and that stuff. And I love watching those old matches. Like, I love putting on the History of the WWE Championship and watching those old matches from the 70s and stuff. I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just an old fogey.
Maybe. I don't know. You're but we'll end. I'm
not going to get started into my feelings about independent wrestling fans, and, you know, it just sometimes feels like they want every wrestler to pull off a 450, you know?
I don't personally, if you can pull a 450, fine, but I'm not going to beg for it.
Yeah, I like my mat tacticians.
Mm.
It's something I had to grow into, but yeah, that's what I like more of. But we'll go into our last part, which for favorites.
Yes.
Which is favorite pay-per-views and favorite matches.
Well, I got two favorite pay-per-views, and I think I've mentioned both of them. Survivor Series 2002 was a good one. One Night Stand 2005 was the first one I ever watched live. Those were awesome.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about 2005. That, I think that's both our listed. List is One Night Stand 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Just just that last match. You know, Dudley's, Tommy Dreamer, Sandman, Metallica's Enter the Sandman kicks off, and it's like,
and the crowd sings. The
crowd sings.
That's the best part.
It's awesome. You know, that really proves that, you know, some of the best pay-per-views, they all have great crowds with them. Because it's the energy of the crowd that really feeds into the energy of the match. Me, I have to go with WrestleMania 3 and Hogan versus Andre. I know it's cheap and easy, but at the same point in time, it really is the prototypical main event. It set up what main events are today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be epic. I say suppose, because some of them are just, you know, bleh, but that's another opinion.
Recent years. Yeah. John Cena versus Triple H, John Cena versus Shawn Michaels were excellent matches. The triple threat between Triple H.
No, if you want my favorite match, it would be the Hell in a Cell between Michaels and Triple H.
Oh, that was an epic one.
Ended in the most epic way possible.
Yep. Triple H, Shawn Michaels versus Chris Benoit, triple threat. That was an awesome match. Rey Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero, WrestleMania 21. That was a really good match. And same night, Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle. That was, I think that was pretty much match of the night for that pay-per-view.
I can agree with that one.
I hate to keep it to mostly WWE.
No, I mean, yeah, I've had other great matches. Let's see. I'm trying to remember here.
Here's one I think we'll both agree on. Taz versus Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yes.
Yes.
Taz versus Sabu.
Taz versus Sabu as well. Oh my god, I was just watching that the other day. Oh my god, that was an epic match. But both Taz versus Bam Bam Bigelow matches. Because back to back they were awesome. But that's what I was talking about earlier with the whole Joey Styles Shane Douglas commentary when they crashed through the ramp.
No.
And then Taz just pops back up like pissed, like, oh, that's one of my favorite matches to watch. I said before, Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles versus Christopher Daniels won.
Samoa Joe versus Kento Kobashi from Ring of Honor.
You know what match I really wish I could see? CM Punk versus Samoa Joe. Because we'll talk about it's, more
it
fun.
Probably
but
it probably happened once or twice, I'm sure.
I just want to see the match that he talked about where he said he had talked a drunk Joe into doing a 60-minute Iron Man match with him. And I have it on video, by the way.
I'm
I can
sure.
show it to you later. No, I may show it to you later. I think those are pretty much top of my list as far as matches. Like I said, pay-per-views, WrestleMania 22, 23, 2005 One Night Stand, Money in the Bank 2011, and the 2006 Royal Rumble, I think, top of my list.
Yeah, right now, for me, right now, King of Trios has, like, event or events of the year for 2012. So, and when you consider Night of Champions had a hell of a good outing, that's saying something.
Absolutely, yeah. Anyway, I don't talk. It's but all my podcasting, I don't have that much time. But you know, it's definitely I try to watch as much like independent stuff I can on YouTube, and it's like a lot of those promotions, they do a really good job. Dragon Gate, I've seen some good matches on Dragon Gate, some good matches on Chikara. We were talking earlier that wasn't recorded because I found out I wasn't recording.
Whoops.
But he said his name was Theos, right?
Sorry.
The Egyptian guy.
No, Ophidian.
Ophidian, thank you. Which is one of the funniest videos to watch him hypnotize a tag team and make them dance around the ring.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah. I think it's a great segue to talking to fun. For you, why is wrestling fun for you to watch?
Nowadays, it boils down to entertainment. I love, for me, it's simple. A great dramatic match. I don't know what, you know, when the stakes are high, you really do not know who the fuck is going to win. That's just the best. That's the best kind of match. But for me, with Chikara, it's very simple.
Very simple.
It's just freaking fun. With Ring of Honor, you have technical stuff, and these guys go out there and they just go and you, yeah. That's it. Now, they just go.
I'm the same way, and it is just about fun, you know. Especially older, having watched so long, I get to remember stuff, and so whenever they bring up something, I get to mark out. But it is a thing to where, and it really happened the first season of Tough Enough, and it came to this point where they were showing the behind the scenes, and I came to that realization of, you know what, I can either be one of those people that say, oh, wrestling is fake, I'll never watch it again. Or it's that thing to where I can, you know, grow up and realize, yes, it's scripted. Doesn't mean it's fake. And you know what? At the end of the day, it's enjoyable to watch two guys try to put on one hell of a performance. It is the closest we have to real-life superheroes. And it's fun to watch, especially when you get great scenes. Like we were talking earlier about the Kane and Daniel Bryan therapy sessions. Every now and then you get these great segments on Raw, you know, to like John Cena battle raps to, you know, I talked about this in an email I sent you once, but you know, I still love watching John Cena rip Lita in Oklahoma.
Lita's a slut. Oh, no, my favorite battle, my favorite little rhyme from him when it comes to Lita was like, Well, Lita's like the Oklahoma Sooners. Let's talk football. Lita doesn't exactly have what you would call a very good defense. What I mean by that is there's been a lot of balls pounded in that end zone.
In fact, she's very much like the Oklahoma Sooners end zone. It's red.
It's real experience. It's big. And it's got 17 it's got guys 15, trying to score it at once.
In fact, JR, if you have $2 and bus fare, that could be yours for the night.
JR?
And then JR goes, no.
Actually, if you have $2, $10 and bus fare, you guys, that could be yours for your two. And Lita goes, you know, John, screw you. I got
10 bucks. Back when, you know, John Cena was allowed to do those things, unfortunately. But no, those are great moments. But, you know, those really are part of the fun. It's like when you have a great segment, it's just fun to watch. You know, when John Cena was battle rapping The Rock, which I've watched over and over again, those are just so much fun segments. And that's what you watch wrestling for.
Mm-hmm. That and the community is fun as well. Yeah. You know.
And I think that's a great segue to the other part of talking about fun, which is for you as part of the Toonami generation or Attitude generation, whichever you want to call it.
I prefer to be part of the Attitude Era generation.
Well, we're all part of the same generation, but it's just which name you like to use. What has wrestling done for you as far as your life?
Well, it got me through high school. To put it as bluntly as possible. That's what happened. You know, there's. You know, of course, the Russell cast. It inspired me to. They say, hey, I want to be part of that guy with the glasses. So I started this podcast. I've met so many great people. I've met great friends. It's probably done too much for me, I guess. I don't know.
Well, it's one of those things where, again, I think it's given me structure just based off the fact that it's like about every Monday night I watch wrestling. But it is something to where, as a writer, they are very simple stories that they tell in the ring. My favorite matches, and we talked about them, but all of them also had something else. they told good stories. And I think that's something that isn't told enough about good matches. Great matches are ones that tell great stories in the ring. You know, we go back to Money in the Bank, CM Punk versus John Cena. That entire match told a story. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just great to watch two people. It really is something where it also infers, you know, as somebody who does want to write novels and that stuff, all my fight scenes are wrestling fight scenes.
That helps.
That helps.
My characters are doing nip-ups and they're went behind, pouncing their leg up and down, hit them with a super kick. But it definitely is, I think, a part of a lot of people. Because, again, a lot of people, when you look at the characters we love, they're very much like Stone Cold Steve Austin. They're very much like John Cena. They're very much like CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
And those unique personalities. And I think it's just very interesting to see how wrestling has also influenced our society's culture as well. Because it is a big part of it. You know, I believe Raw is still like one of the top programs on there. Or at least that's what they keep telling us.
Of course.
Of course.
But with that, we've
couple hours going in, sure.
We're about an hour and a half in, at least on this recording. and we've gotten through all the notes. And Maddie?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for helping me talk wrestling.
Hey.
My
pleasure.
I will be glad to, if you ever need me, to return the favor. Do you want to let people know about WrestleCast and other places?
Of course, and if you want to be a guest, the door's open, that's for sure. As far as the WrestleCast, there's a couple ways you can listen to it. We're always live every Friday night at 10:30. TWK hosts Riff Down at 8, so if you want to watch SmackDown and have some decent, funny commentary while Cole and Josh try to bore you to tears, there's that. Although SmackDown has been picking up, they always have some decent wrestling, so that helps. That's at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard. The WrestleCast goes live at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. If you can't catch it then, you can catch it once every Sunday. Actually, it's the episode is up and ready, so just every Sunday at midnight. Approximately Saturday to Sunday,
I will say this: if you can make the recording, the Friday night recording, make it, because we have fun in that chat room.
It is.
Me and Hairball are gonna get at it one day.
And if you can make it for a pre-show every once in a while, I make a theme pre-show. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I did a Jerry the Caller where I showed the infamous Coffin Baller incident.
Yeah.
But that's the WrestleCast, and I used to do. I am in hiatus when it comes to the Money at Riffs, and myself with the Shades and Easy Rider. But we'll be back in October. You can always check that. We have a crew doing that. A great job. With the Monday Night Riffs in our place. But once we're back, that's it's 8. When Raw goes on, we go on. So. And, I do AJ Live every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard.
And, of course, we can't forget the occasional, or every 2 weeks, what you lovingly rip off from Nash.
Well, two to three weeks, depending. And it took an extra week off because I didn't feel like doing anything, especially with the Jerry Lawler situation. But that segment, I lovingly rip off from Nash. We take all sorts of look at wrestling. Bullshit. Bring it to and ask what the wrestling block.
Yes, is wrong with you.
Yep.
You know what? I really do. I know it's horrible. I just want you and Shades to look at the, because I sent you the link to the China movie. I just want you and Shades looking. Just a riff on the cover. It's something you guys need to do. It really is.
One night we might.
Have you seen their Hulk Hogan? Oh my God! I mean, first of all, who wants to see Hulk Hogan is doing
you
that? Is crazy.
I want you to see that.
But just oh my God! I mean, when what's his name? Who was in The Stooges? Which, by the way, that was a great movie. mm-hmm. But when him from like Mad TV, when his impression of Hulk Hogan is better, there's something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's Will Sasso. He's just having fun.
Yeah. Oh, Will. Oh God. Did you get to see the Three Stooges?
I have not, but I've been told it's very good.
No, watch. I would see it with my mom, and it's a funny story. Went to theater. There's only four of us, and I was the youngest person at 27. There's like only four or like seven of us just in this theater watching this movie, but it was funny as hell. If you like the original Three Stooges, you will love this movie. My God. And they make you wait for Kate Upton in that bikini, but it's well worth it.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah, but definitely, you know, guys, I've talked about Reviewtopia before. They are a wonderful site. Again, Shades, I know Enigma Stream, you know, they run it. They do a wonderful job with that site. A lot of great videos on there. You know, Matt, of course, Maddie's there. Shades on there. He has great videos. He does wonderful interviews. I'm jealous of him right now because he still gets to see Scott McNeil. Easy Rider. Just a lot of great people are on that site. So, yeah, but definitely check out WrestleCast. If you have any interest in wrestling, really, guys, check it out. And, of course, you guys know all the different places you can find me. Of course, for the Absolution Network, you can email the site for any emails or anything you have on the site at I've confused myself on the email address.
Whoops. There you go.
We'll keep this in. We'll just call this botch number one and keep it in. We're apparently Sin Cara.
Yeah, no. Believe me, it's the influence of me, because I usually botch up a stream at least once per show. It happens.
Well, we botched more than once on this episode.
Yeah.
But you can email us at absolution132@yahoo.com. That's absolution132@yahoo.com. And, of course, while you're here at the network, you can also leave us comments, or you can leave us a comment on our Facebook page, which you can find by searching Absolution Network on Facebook. And, of course, while you're here at the site, remember to check out our other podcasts. Check out the Otaku Momentum, you know, Neokaji and those guys that are funny as hell. And, of course, my Tom's Prerogative podcast, which reviews all types of animation. The latest episode, which will either come out before or after this episode, will be Air Gear. And, of course, the episode, if this was after this episode, the latest episode is us talking about Hanna-Barbera. Which is us saying, God damn, Scooby-Doo and the 13 Ghosts. there's that. And check out all our other podcasts. You know, random Redbox reviews done by Chris. Mean Gene's new anime segments that he has. And, of course, my other podcast, Tokyo SOS, a Godzilla podcast that you can find at www.tokyosos.132productions.com. And, of course, my comic book site, Comic Book Crazy, which you can find at www.comicbookcrazy.132productions.com, that has Comic Book Crazy, Hexcast, and the Comic Book Pitch. Check all those out. And that is it for this special episode of the Absolution Network, where we talk wrestling. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And while usually I would tell you to stay golden, since this is a wrestling special, I'll just leave you at this. Beat me if you can!
Survive! We'll be right back.
The following has been a primetime production in association with 132 Productions. Join us at www.132productions.com.